Here's what I believe today. I believe if you keep praying, it will happen. I'm going to say that again. If you keep praying, it will happen. Reading today from Acts chapter 12, I'm going to work my way through several of these verses today in this powerful story. Acts 12, beginning at verse 1, it was about this time. What time was it? It was chaos time. It was crazy time. It was time when the church was under attack. It was a time when it seemed the enemy was winning. It was a time when it seemed like persecution was more powerful than the Holy Spirit that was alive and moving and working, and that more was happening for darkness than was happening for the kingdom. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church. He wasn't after the sinners. He wasn't after those in the world. He was coming for people who belonged to the church. And you've been wondering why stuff is happening in your life. You've been trying to figure out why you are under attack and why you are feeling the stress you're feeling and why you are dealing with some of the challenges that you are dealing with. He's coming for people who belong to the church, intending to persecute them. Verse 2 said that he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. They've been after Peter his whole life. Ever since Peter, responded to that altar call on the seashore that day, and Jesus called him out of the boat, they've been after Peter. Everything that he does, every move that he makes. And so they seize Peter. They arrest him, verse 4, and put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each, 16 soldiers all around him. That's how nervous Peter makes them. That's how afraid of Peter. Peter's not strong enough. I know he's got a temper. I know Peter is hot-headed. Word has spread that in the Garden of Gethsemane, one of those soldiers came at Jesus, and Peter drew a sword and cut that man's ear off. So word has spread, and now we're not going to put one soldier on him. We're going to put 16 guards around him, because we're going to make sure that Peter is subdued. We're going to make sure that he is under control. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Herod has a plan. Herod has a plan for Peter. We're gonna put you in the middle of 16 soldiers that have their swords at the ready. You're gonna be in chains, and we are gonna make sure that we get you this time. We know there is a plan, and Herod has a plan. The enemy has a plan, and you and I know the enemy has a plan. We are not ignorant of the devil's schemes. We are not ignorant to the enemy's plans. I've just come on this back to school Sunday to say that his plan is not working. I've just come today to say that whatever the enemy has decided for your life, whatever scheme the enemy has enacted for your life, it is not working, and it will not work. If you know, you may not be convinced yet. You may need a little more preaching to get your faith to that place today. But you need to know that the enemy's plan is not working. Just the fact that you made it to church today lets you know that his plan is not working. He didn't want you to get here and hear this word today. He didn't want you to get here and be prayed for today. He didn't want you to show up and lift your hands in worship and get fresh strength and a renewing of God's peace and power in your life. His plan is not working. Not working. It's not working. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So the enemy has a plan, but the church has prayer. The enemy has an idea, but the church has spiritual intentions. Can't let this happen. Yes, the plan landed Peter in prison. The plan placed 16 guards around him. The plan put chains on him. However, the enemy underestimated a praying church. The enemy has plans for every one of these babies that were up here today. And the babies are the pre-K ones all the way up to the college age ones. They're all just sweet babies to me. I'm old enough to say that. Now, the enemy has a plan for all of them, but the enemy has underestimated a praying church. It may be you that's in trouble today. It may be someone you know that's in trouble today, but I'm calling us back to prayer. I'm calling us to put our faith in God again. Everybody's always telling me to pray. Why is everybody always telling me just to pray about it? Let me tell you, because if you keep praying, it will happen. If you keep praying, it's going to be one of those Sundays. Just give me a minute. I'll get right where you are. Because if you keep praying, it will happen. Verse 6, the night before Herod was to bring Peter to trial. The night before. I mean, Peter's been in this mess for a minute. Peter's being persecuted now for a little while. The plans, the attacks, the challenges, the trials, the circumstances, the issues surrounding Peter, it's been happening, but it wasn't until the night before. I mean, really, Lord, you're going to wait till the night before to move for me? You're going to wait till you're going to wait until the 11th hour. You're going to wait until the last minute to bring me out of this. Listen, I don't care if the Lord is late. I don't care if he's last minute, just so that he shows up and we win. Don't get hung up on timing. You better know that God knows how to tell time. He knows right where you are. He knows exactly what you can handle. He knows exactly how much you can bear. He's got a good eye on you. And if you're still breathing, if you're still here, then know that God is still working and moving in your life. Herod had a plan to bring him to trial, but guess what? Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Now, you and I are anxious. You and I are nervous. I'm just reading some scriptures, and some of you are feeling your anxiety just kind of creeping up. Like, I'm nervous. I don't know what's going to happen to Peter. I don't know what's going to go on. But Peter is asleep between two soldiers. That's the kind of peace I'm looking for. That I'm in prison, I'm stuck in a mess, I'm in the middle of persecution, prison, I'm in the middle of trial, circumstance, and difficulty, but somehow I'm able to sleep. Somehow I'm able to be at peace. Somehow I'm able to be at rest while others are losing their mind, while others are frantic with worry and with fear. Somehow Peter is sleeping between two soldiers. He's bound with two chains, and there are sentries standing guard at the entrance. I don't know how you fluff your pillow when you are bound with chains. I don't know how you cover yourself when it gets cold in the night, when you're covered and chains are binding your hands and your feet, and you've got you got guards. I don't know how you sleep peacefully, but I want that kind of confidence, spiritual confidence in my life, that no matter what I see happening around me, that no matter what I see swirling around me, no matter what challenges I'm facing, I can be at peace because the presence of God is where I am. And verse 7 said that suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and the light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Because if you keep praying, there will be a suddenly in your life. Oh, I know we want to know when it's going to happen, and we're checking our watch and we're checking our phone to see if someone's called in. We're waiting. We're running to the mailbox. We're refreshing the email. We're constantly wondering how, when, where is my help going to come from? If I keep praying, there will be a suddenly in my life. It may be last minute, but if I will keep praying, there is no depth of prison, there is no depth of circumstance that his light cannot reach. The Bible said that a light shone in the prison, because God can find you no matter where you are. They may put all kind of people around you trying to shield you and guard you and hide you, but God's light can get anywhere. Somebody ought to just say, "Thank you, Lord, that you know where I am." And he said, get up, start moving, Peter, get up. And it wasn't until Peter got up that the chains fell off. It wasn't until Peter moved that the chains fell off. I've come to preach to people in this room today that feel like you are chained up in situation and you are locked down in circumstance, and you're saying, "Well, Lord, I need to see some evidence. I need to know you're working. I need to know that you are moving." And God is saying, "I can't move until you move. I can't break chains until you break through. I can't do what I'm going to do until I see you doing what you need to do." Come on, Peter, get up. And when he got up, the chains fell off of his hands. The chains fell off of his feet. Who am I preaching to on Sunday morning that it's time for you to make a move? Lord, I feel my help in this room today. If you would just make a move, there's some circumstances that would fall off of you. There are some issues and some situations that would crumble at your feet. If you would just worship him anyway, if you would praise him regardless, if you would just magnify the Lord with me and let's exalt his name together. I know you want to see evidence that the crisis has been canceled. I know you want to see proof that the challenge is over, but the Lord said, "I need you to move, and when you move, I'm going to move. When you move, I am going to do what you need me to do." Put your clothes on, Peter. Why can't I wear these clothes? Because I need you to have your clothes on. You know, when you go to jail, thankfully I was only there one time and I wasn't there long enough. It's another story for another time, but pray for Pastor Darrell. Thankfully I wasn't there long enough for them to change my clothes, but when you go to jail, they put a different outfit on you. They put a jumpsuit on you. Usually it's orange, it's some bright color that, you know, if somebody, we had an escapee here a few months ago. I was teaching Discover Church and he come walking right across the field and all the Discover Church students are just watching me and I'm watching this man walk across the field. I'm like, "Boy, that sure looks like that guy on the news. I motioned for Nikki, who was in the back of the room. I pointed out there. No one else even knew what we were talking about. And she's looking, and all of a sudden she's on a phone and calling 911 because there he goes. He's wearing the prison uniform. He's wearing, you can identify somebody by what they're wearing and what the angel is saying. Peter, I don't need you to be identified with what you're coming out of. I don't need you to be labeled by what you've been through. I need you to put your clothes on. I need you to put your purpose back on, just in case this circumstance shook your faith and all of a sudden you're going to walk around with a cloak of doubt on. No, put off the garment of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. I don't know who is in this room, but you need to change your clothes this Sunday and take off the clothes of doubt. Take off the clothes of struggle. Take off the jumpsuit of worry and put on his cloak of purpose in your life. Get up, put on your clothes and follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Are you going to tell me where we're going? No, I just want you to follow me. Are you going to lay out the next 30 days of my life exactly what it's going to look like? No, I'm going to invite you to follow me. Are you going to send me an email that details the schedule, where we're going, what we're doing, exactly what time this is going to happen? No, I'm just going to invite you to follow me. Listen, I know we've become very particular in 2024, and we only want to follow God if we have some guaranteed outcomes and we have an agenda perfectly laid out about what God is going to do and how God is going to do it. But I need to remind somebody, that's not how faith works. Faith will walk without knowing where you are going. Faith will follow just the voice of the Lord that says, come on, I want you to follow me. What you have to trust is that if God is leading, the destination is going to be right. That if God is leading, where you're going to end up is going to be much better than what you've left behind. I'm preaching to people that don't know what's ahead of you. You don't know what's in front of you. You don't know what's around the next corner, but you got to know you're following him, which means it's all going to be good. Follow me. Follow, get up, follow. See, these are the moments that I prayed for. What if Peter got in this moment and start struggling? Wait a minute. This is too much. This is too much. This is all happening too fast. I'm not ready to get up yet. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what you're doing. There's too many unknowns. There's too many uncertainties. Listen, if you're going to be successful in the things of the Spirit, you've got to get accustomed to uncertainties. Because the certainty is God. The uncertainty are the details. But the thing I'm certain about is so much more valuable and so much better than the things I'm uncertain about. I hope that makes sense. Certain, uncertain. Dr. Seuss, stop on red, go on green, go faster on yellow. There's uncertainties, but I'm certain because these are the things that I prayed for. These are the answers I hoped would come. When I cried out, Jesus, help me. Hey, Lord, I don't want to do this on my own. This is the plan that he enacted in your life. This is the reason that you've kept your faith through it all. This is the reason that you did not give up and you did not throw in the towel. You kept your faith for this. Because somebody told you if you keep praying, it will happen. If you keep praying. And the Bible said in verse 9 that Peter followed him out of the prison. But he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. Peter's like, wait a minute, I'm off in this dream state. I don't know exactly what's happening. I don't know if this is real. I don't know if I'm still asleep in the prison. I don't know exactly what is going on, because this is trust. I don't know exactly what is happening. I don't know all that God is doing, but Lord, I trust you. Am I dreaming? Sometimes God has to get us out of ourselves, because ourselves would argue with what he's doing. Ourselves would resist and fight against what he is doing. And so he gets us out of ourselves so that we can follow him without a fuss. And the Bible said they passed through the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. They're down in the innermost prison. They're down several layers, not up in just the common jail. They're down in the deep prison, in the bowels of the earth, down low. They've gone through multiple doors, but every time they come to a door, it just opens. It just opens. It just opens. They're moving and God is working. They're walking and God is working. They're taking steps and God is going before them and making a way for them. I don't know who this is for today, but I keep feeling all week long that God is about to open doors for people in this room. You've been turning locks and banging and trying to get something to open and trying to force something. And God said, if you would just relax and follow me, I am going to open the doors that you need opened in your life. You're not going to have to pry. You're not going to have to push. You're not going to have to pull and pull. It's just going to open in your life. In verse 11, Peter came to himself and he said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. And I may not understand everything that's happened, but I know everything I just came through. I know that was God. I may not be able to make sense of everything I've been through, but the fact that I got through it, that's God. You may not have any idea how in the world you're here after all you've been through. Well, I've come to tell you how God has made a way in your life. The quicker you come to that realization, the faster so much gets settled in your world and so much gets easier in your world to just think, wow, did I do that? Was that me? Was that, did I zig? Did I do all? No, I didn't. God just ordered my steps and just walked me and led me and guided me until now. Here I am with this realization that God has done an incredible work in my life. And guess what? He's not finished yet. Because I am still praying. If you keep praying, it will happen. Somebody say it. If you keep praying, it will happen. And it dawned on him. Verse 12. When he had this epiphany, when he came to this realization, the Bible said that he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, where many people had gathered and were praying. When they get to the gate of the city, all of these doors have opened, and they get to the gate of the city, and the gate of the city opens, and the angel leaves Peter and says, I think you know what to do from here. And Peter starts thinking, all right, what? I'm free. This is the first time I felt free in a long time. This is the, man, what do I do now? Where do I go from here? What do I do? I just came through the biggest trial of my life. I just came through the darkest season of my life. I just came through the most overwhelming and just unbelievable circumstance in my, what am I gonna do now? I'm not going to Waffle House. I'm not going home to finish my sleeping. I know where I'm going to church. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm going where the church has gathered. I'm going into the presence of the Lord. I'm going to have yet another experience with the things of God. I'm going to church. And at verse 13, the Bible said that Peter arrives at church. He's knocking at the outer entrance. And I don't have time to preach it, but I don't want you to miss this point. That every door Peter has come through in the last little while, all the prison doors, gate of the city, all of them had just opened. But when they get to the door of the church, that door doesn't open. Peter's knocking. Hey! Man, this is weird. I've just come through one door after another, one miracle after another, but I get to the door of the church and now I gotta wait and see if anybody's ready to believe this. I gotta see if anybody's ready to receive what we've been praying for and what we've been asking for and what we've been wanting and what we have been desiring. I just feel like asking this church today on this great Sunday morning, are we ready to receive everything that God has said was possible? Are we ready to walk in everything that God has said is available to us? I hear him knocking. I hear him calling. I hear him trying to get in. I hear him saying, hey, you kept praying and now it's time for it to happen in your life. Are you ready to receive it? You ready for it to happen in your life? Peter knocked at the outer entrance and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. I just need a couple more minutes. The King James Version says that Rhoda is a damsel, which means a young girl, just a young servant girl, a young slave girl. I need every student to hear me. I need everybody that we prayed for today. It's the reason all of our students are in today, because you need to hear this message. Just a young person, a young lady, a young man, every student hearing me, because you may hear something that others do not hear. The church is in there praying. All the gray-haired people. All the busy people that got business and work and budgets to meet. They're praying. They're doing a great thing. They're just not praying and listening at the same time. They're asking. They're just not quite in a posture to receive. But this girl, this Rhoda, this young person, she hears the knocking at the door. She hears something they do not hear. I can just see her because I remember we used to host prayer meetings in our home when I was a kid, long before the wheels came off in my father's life. But I remember in my home as a child, I couldn't even gauge how many people it was, 50 people, 60 people. I just remember everywhere you looked, there were people leaning over, kneeling down, bending over. There were people praying. Everybody was in the house praying. Everybody was reaching. Everybody was believing for something to happen. And just a kid, just a young person, man, I can't respond to this. I can't move. I'm not the one. Look at all these old people. They're the ones that need to be believing. They're the ones that need to be answering the door. I'm just a young person. What am I going to do? Well, you're the only one hearing it, apparently. You're the only one with faith enough to believe that it is possible, apparently. God wants you, the students of this church, to open the door to revival, to open the door to his glory. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said that when she recognized Peter's voice, because not only is Peter knocking, but he's like, hey, hello, hey, y'all hear this door knocking, right? I have to believe Peter did it like we do it. We knock, and when they don't answer, we start walking along the side of the house looking for a window that we can peek into. I heard somebody say the other day that just because you see me sitting on the porch, don't assume I'm at home. We call the house phone. If that doesn't answer, the cell phone. The cell phone doesn't answer. I mean, it never dawns on us that they don't want to talk to us. We just keep calling every number we can find because surely they want to talk to us. Peter, hey, I'm knocking. Does anybody want to open the door? Anybody miss me? Does anybody wonder how this is going to work out? The Bible said she recognized Peter's voice. She was so overjoyed that she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, hey, it's Peter. Peter's at the door. She recognized his voice. You know why? Because she'd been listening. She'd been listening. It's important because there are so many voices. Every student, I want you to hear me. You've got so many voices, so many voices, so many distractions, so many things trying to get your attention. I pray, number one, because we can't silence all of the voices. You've got lots of influence and lots of people and so many things competing. But it's one of my favorite things on Sunday when one of our students, when one of our young people say, Pastor, that was great preaching today, or thank you for what, when you said this, I heard you say this, and I'm like, oh man, they're listening. They're listening. The reason she recognized Peter's voice is because she had been listening. And what I'm praying is that when temptation comes or struggle comes or opportunity comes or when this happens, I'm praying that when that happens and you hear all of the voices, somehow my voice, his voice, can pierce through all of the noise to say, if you keep praying, it will happen. If you keep praying. Sydney, I'm believing you're going to hear my voice and his voice all the way in Athens. I believe you're going to hear the voice of God saying, hey, I've got a plan for your life. I've got a call on your life. I've got an anointing on your life. I've got plans for you. I'm ordering your steps. Don't give up on me. Come on, keep praying so that it can happen in your life. She was so overjoyed. She ran back. She didn't even open the door. She just ran to tell everyone, hey, Peter's at the door. They said, you're out of your mind, verse 15. You're out of your mind. You see, Rhoda had three things against her. She was young. She was a girl, and she was just a servant. Nobody's going to listen to me because I'm young. The young don't know anything. You just hush until somebody asks for your opinion, which is going to be a long, long time. No. I want young people involved in this house. I want students involved in what we're doing. I want your opinion. I want to know what you think. I want to know what you feel. Because your spirit, your heart, the call on your life is important. And then she's a girl. There's no time to preach that women were literally to be seen and not heard in Bible times. And they were to have no opinion. Still very much the same rules in the Middle East today. But nobody wanted to hear from her. Boys rule and girls, you know, all. But ladies, we need your heart. It's unbelievable, the assault on our ladies in 2024. Spent years trying to get equal rights for women, and now we have men that are winning our beauty pageants, women's beauty pageants, because there are no men's beauty pageants. Oh, Pastor Darrell, you just ruined a great message. No, no, I'm still in it. And she's just a servant. She's out of place. Go sweep a floor. Go make a sandwich. Go do. No, you just, no, this girl is hearing. She's hearing the voice of revival. She's hearing the voice of breakthrough. She's hearing the voice. And the Bible said that when she kept insisting that it was even so, she kept insisting, because we need someone who will not take no for an answer. We need young people who will believe when others do not believe. And people who will not lose faith because others have lost their faith. Because if you keep praying, it will happen. But the Bible said that Peter kept knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Something knocking in your life, at your home, at the door of this church, knocking. Who can hear it? Who can hear it? Is there a young person that can hear it? Is there a mom or a dad that can hear the knocking at the door? If you keep praying, it will happen. I don't know what you're asking God to do. I don't know what you are believing God for, but hear me. Believing is awesome. I preached it months ago. Better than belief. It's one thing to believe. There's value in that. It's great. It's wonderful. But even better than belief is seeing it happen, is opening the door to receive what God is doing. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what is happening in your life, but I have come to tell you that if you will keep praying, it will happen, and God is ready to do it in your life. In Jesus' name.